This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. By the way, I'm not an alcoholic. Sorry about that. At any rate, each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on, AABlueChipSpeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. And tonight's speaker actually happens to be my sponsor. She is absolutely amazing. I called her looking for a sponsor, and she was already full with sponsees and took me on anyway. And so I am going to hang on to her until I have all of the gratitude and faith and patience and tolerance that she has. And so tonight I welcome and introduce you to Vanessa.
Hello, family. My name is Vanessa, and I am a grateful, grateful recovering alcoholic. Hey, family. I always like to thank God for allowing me to find a program that led me to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd like to thank our predecessors who have died and gone on and left this legacy alive. I'd like to thank you old-timers who keep coming back and forth in these rooms and let me know this program, it really do works. I'd like to welcome any newcomer because you are the most important person at any meeting, because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. You know, I don't know how to stand behind a podium. So I'm going to be a little loud so that the tape can catch me, because I don't know how to stand behind a podium. I'm not a podium speaker. Do what? In the middle of the podium? Oh, you look at me all the time. Anyway, I don't know how to stand behind here. So my story goes a little like this. Like, because I came in Alcoholics Anonymous thinking that I wasn't an alcoholic, right? But like, doing the work, I forgot about, like, I remember when I was a little girl. See, I come from a family of bootleggers. I come from a family where bootleggers, everybody had a bootlegger house. I hung out at the bootlegger house with my parents, right? And all I knew how to do was go around and pick up the cups, right? In the name of cleaning up, I would pick up all the cups and get drunk. And they would say, dance, baby! Dance! And I would dance, and they would give me money to dance. And I thought I was in heaven. So that's what I used to do. I used to clean up at the bootleggers. Take me to the bootlegger house. That's what I did. I cleaned up all the cups. Right? And I would say that I wasn't an alcoholic. But then when I think about, like, I was an alcoholic long before I even knew how to go to the store and buy it myself. Right? Because, see, my mama was a bootlegger. My grandma was a bootlegger. The neighbor was a bootlegger. You know, everybody house we went to sold liquor. So that's what we did. We drank, they drank, I cleaned up and drank, and I danced and I made money. And I'm talking about, like, that was fun for a long time. I'm talking about I danced and drank all the way up. I'm telling y'all, I thought I was a little bitty girl, like 5 or 6 years old. Drinking the cups, the corners out of cups, and dancing for money. Because I thought that was the life, right? But it only progressed. Like, I went from a little girl drinking to doing other things in my life. Like, alcohol was my first love. But I would come in and say, I ain't no alcoholic. I did crack. Yeah, I was cracking everything but where I started from. You couldn't tell me I wasn't alcoholic. My dad was alcoholic, but he was a drink, and he would have seizures, and we would have to buy
scrape up money to buy my dad some alcohol because he would have seizures. And I would stand over him. I would stand over him with a with other things in my hand, saying, "Oh, he needs some help," not knowing that I need the help too. Right? Everybody needed help but Vanessa. Everybody did. Everybody. My mom, I should tell my mom, she didn't stop there because she get drunk and beat us. She would get drunk and beat us. And then wake up the next day like didn't nothing happen. And that was before Bruce came out. You were just getting your butt whooped. Now you whoop your children, they call it abuse. You be in jail for whooping your own children. Anyway, my story goes on from alcohol to other things, right? And I didn't know how to cope with my feelings. I didn't know how to cope with my thoughts. I thought I had to have something to go to school. I put my list. I start off, because like I just told y'all from the beginning, my family always been a hustler. I always been in a hustling family. Well, I'm talking about my parents had fish markets. We ran the numbers out the fish market. I was a little girl running from store to store, dropping off fish and numbers. Right? Right? And so when I went to school, my grandma was a candy lady too. So I would steal candy from my grandma's house and take it to school, and I would sell Now-Laters and Jolly Ranchers on the stick Jolly Ranchers. I sold candy, blow pops. I got blow pops in my pocketbook now. I just sell blow pops. You know, I wanted to have money at home for school, right? Because I'm watching everybody making money and doing stuff. I want to do the same thing. I sell candy in school. I go from selling candy in school to going to high school selling dollar joints. Right? I went from one extreme to the next. Right? And I didn't know that my disease was growing. I thought I was an entrepreneur. I didn't know I was headed for where I was headed for. Right? I said, because he's like, all of this landed me nowhere but in jail. I'm talking about like going from one stage to the next, trying to hustle and get a dollar, selling myself, going to jail for that. Right? Always in and out of jail. In the name of in the name of killing death in my feelings. Right? And that's all I was looking for. I was looking for a way out. And I found y'all. And y'all gave me a way out through the 12 and 12. Who would have known 12 and 12 would have made me get my life right? Who would have known the only thing I had to do was follow this program to the best of my ability that my life would have been like it is now? Right? I was in my life. I've always drank and did everything. In the name of my feelings, my sister just passed, right? My sister passed on Father's Day of this year. And when my sister passed, everybody around me was drinking. Everybody was drinking. All they were doing was running back and forth to the little store, coming back with big bottles. I'm talking about, they were getting down so bad, they were drinking old door. It ain't a 2% alcohol. I ain't have a 2%. I know that, but they don't know that. I'm out of town, they ain't even in Atlanta. They met my sister in North Carolina, right? Because that's where she lived, right? I'm talking about, they don't know I'm an alcoholic. They got all kinds of bills, all the way down to the 2%, right? But see, I had to find my people, because I know I couldn't do it alone, right? So I found y'all, and when I found y'all, I stayed connected, right? And I didn't have to take a drink. Behind my feelings, or behind of a lost one. I didn't have to drink. Right? That's all they were doing. See, everybody deal with their feelings on a different level. You know, like most people, you know, regular people, they they drink and they smoke weed. I'm talking about people on the side of the house smoking weed, my children. Was on the side of the house. on the side of the house drinks smoking weed. Everybody in the house drinking. I need to find a man. I gotta keep running up to my smell down in North Carolina. Y'all can't hide from me. Same way the dope and the drugs and the alcohol and the liquor store can't hide from me. Y'all can't hide from me. I don't care where I go, I'ma find y'all. I'ma find y'all. Y'all can't hide. We everywhere. We everywhere. All over the country. We everywhere. So ain't no excuse today. Right? So I don't make no excuses to drink alcohol. I don't make no excuse to do nothing. I don't make no excuse to act out on my behaviors. I did, you know what I did because I wanted to. Right? When I do stuff that's not conducive to my recovery, I did it because I wanted to. Right? Because look, I ain't responsible for my drinking and drugs, but I am responsible for my recovery. I'm responsible. I ain't using that today. I don't take no. Listen, I was in a car accident. I went to the hospital. They were trying to describe me out. I said, oh, hold up. Can't do that. I can't take no pill. I just will take an ad here. Right? Because I know my body don't know the difference. I don't know. I'm going to shock. My body don't know the difference. I go from the prescription medicine straight to the look, so straight to the door, man. I already know routine. I already know the routine for me. Ain't no in the middle, ain't no maybe, ain't no guess my, ain't no if. I already know the story. I already know. Because I know me. I don't stop at one method. I can't even buy one pair of shoes. That's how bad I am. I can't even buy one pair of shoes and let them be on sale. If they're on sale, everybody got a pair. Now, that ain't my thing. Give them to me anyway. That's how messed up I am. Can't buy one of nothing. So I already know what I am. I know I'm an alcoholic. I ain't gonna second guess it. I don't become a just maybe. I don't get so much time to be saying, well, I don't think I need to come to y'all because I don't think I'm no alcoholic. I don't play with me like that. Because I already know where I go. I go out the door and me, I might never see me. So I don't play with it. I ain't got time to play with it. My life at stake. I don't know about nobody else's. I just told y'all I come from the booth that club, a long boot break. It's all in my system. I got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. But I know, as long as I keep on working, I get better. Let me tell you how I know I get better. Because I used to prostitute and now I'm married. Now I know I'm getting better. You know what I'm saying? Other men used to turn me on, now I turn my head. Right? I glad I don't look. When I used to look and stare and try to get up. Now I just, you know what I'm saying? Because I know I'm married, I can't act out no more. Right? Because I love my husband. I really do. I'm talking about, I always tell the story about, I love my husband, but he's not the man that I would be. So I know he's the man that God sent. See, because like, I'm like, pimp, players, and hustlers. I just told y'all I'm talking about who they are. So y'all know I like them long, tall, slick, and bedrooms and all that. I like this hair curls. You know, all that crazy stuff. Got to be flashy, a lot of jewelry, you know. You know, I like all that popping stuff, right? And God said, you're a little bit skinny, man. Can't hear out of one ear, right? Study when he talks, right? So I got to listen, and I got to concentrate. How they go on in my house, right? When he talks, I got to be, because I got to listen real close when he studies, right? All that stuff I would have picked, right? For my patient, man. Ain't too long. Right? But God gives me patience for my husband. I got to have patience and listen to him. Because it's going to take him a minute to talk. But he's studying and I'm listening to him. And I'm trying to say it before he says it. But that's what God sent me. And he loved me unconditionally. Right? Everything I ever wanted in a man, the door, car door, they carry the bag, right? They give me the bank card. Oh, that's something I always wanted. Access to all the funds. You know what I'm saying? But God gave me what I wanted, what I needed spiritually. Because He's loving and He's caring and He's kind and He works a program. Right? He works the steps and the traditions and He applies them in His life. And, you know, stuff that I need. I need spiritual things. I'm always looking on the outside. I'm always looking for the outside thing. Today we was talking about unmanageability, right? And Paul was Jesus, right? But I had to realize, like, it's an unmanageability on the inside. The internal unmanageability, right? The stuff that's unmanageable on the inside that people don't see, right? Because we always just see the unmanageability on the outside, right? How you don't fix your hair, right? How your nose not, right? All that unmanageability stuff, the dirty clothes, right? We can see that, but we can't see the inside of unmanageability, right? All that clutter that's in your gut, right? All that stuff that goes on in our heads, right? We can't see that, right? So we have to keep working on our, I have to keep working on my stuff. So my outside can match my inside, right? Like, I want my inside to match my outside. But I no longer want to walk around in a meeting, and when I walk in a meeting, I see about 4 or 5 men and I slept with. Because I brought the prostitution from the outside in the inside of the room. Right? I don't want to live like that. I'm talking about this chick who came in the room and was walking around with a married man, right? Talking about he's my old man, but he's somebody else's husband. Right? I've been kicked in for years. About 4 years walking around here like that. Right? But I'm talking about when you do the work, right? Internalize the work. You don't want to live like that no more. You don't want to go around with somebody else's stuff. Right? Claiming it. Right? They talk about getting the rewards and not doing the work. Right? I don't want to go around getting rewards without doing the work. Right? Let me do some work so I can get my own rewards. Right? I don't have to live like that no more. Right? But the only way I can realize that, right, is for me to come in and do the work and apply it in my spirit. So once I start applying this stuff, right, in my spirit, my life got better. Customers can't tell me nothing now. Right? I got my own rules. Hey, there's somebody mess with, right? They not mess with. Somebody look at us like, come on, why you looking at him like that? We still think about that stuff I done, right? So can nobody else look, right? All that crazy stuff. But I'm getting better, right? I'm getting better. It's a miracle how you get better in this program, right? And the miracles happen when you start letting other people in your life and they show you how to live. Right? See, I had to have a sponsor, right, to teach me how to live. Right? Because my sponsor is a lady that's been through the same thing I've been through. Right? Because I ain't unique. Right? And she teaches me how to live. Right? Also, because I got a sponsor that's going through some stuff today that I can never imagine. Her husband got saved for counsel. Right? But I'm talking about, like, sometimes we have to beat up our sponsors. Right? Like, y'all talk about a two-way street. Right? So what I do, when my sponsor, husband, go in the hospital, we take shifts. She be there in the daytime, because I work from 3 to 11. And y'all took off for y'all tonight. I work from 3 to 11, right? So when I get off work, I go to the hospital, and then I go home and get some rest. Right? And I stay up for a few hours, right? And I go home and get me some rest. I'm going to work and she come in to the hospital. Right? But I'm talking about she don't want to trust nobody with her husband like that. But she trusts me with her husband. Right? I'm talking about the girl who was walking around, that's who the husband with her husband. She trusts me with her husband. Right? To take care of him. To rub his feet. Right? When he don't want nobody to touch him. I'm that chick they told him to put up. He said, my mom, girl, I said, they hurt. I'm a well soft. Right? I'm that chick now. Right? and she trusts me with it. Right? And I thank God for that. Because when I was walking around here living like I was living, then no chick wanted, no woman wanted me to be around. Most of the women in recovery are married. Right? So who wants to, if you mess with a married man, who wants you in their company? Nobody wants you in their company. I had to go out of town and get the help I needed. Because a lot of women in the circle, they didn't trust me. Right? So I had to go get some help elsewhere. Right? So I started going elsewhere, going to meet in, you know, in different states and different little towns, right? And they was telling me, like, you need to straighten up. You need to apply this stuff in your life. Because women ain't going to trust you. Not in your area. They not. They're not going to trust you. So if you want to get some help, you need to stop doing what you're doing. It's like, how you stop? He buys fat screen TV. He got a function house. He taking me to these nice restaurants. He helping me get my life back. He paying off chicken, but I ain't have a wife when I first got here. He helping me pay off chicken. I couldn't stop. I said, how do you stop? I said, the same way you stop drinking and drugging. I said, I just stop. And that's what you do. You just stop. And I had to stop. If I want to look at my life and stop, it wasn't easy. Because I'm so used to things. I'm so attached to things. Things making me happy. Right? Stop. I ain't looking at the spiritual things. I'm looking at the tangible things. Right? And these things making me happy. So it's hard to stop. Right? But when I stop, oh, thank you, God. When I stopped, I went through some withdrawals. Right? It's amazing how you be attached to something for so long, it'll take you through withdrawals when you let go. Right? And I let that thing go, and I went through withdrawals like I was on. I don't know what I felt like I was on, but I had never felt that feeling before. I'm talking about my stomach was in knots. I couldn't make it to work. My bowels were moving on me. I'm talking about I was messed up. I went through some tough withdrawals. But when I got to that other side, I said, God, I ain't gonna never start doing that no more. I ain't going back to that same thing. Right? And I'm talking about him coming on my job with flowers and money. I said, I don't want this. I don't want the flowers. I don't want the food. I don't want none of that. Because every time he would come back, I would try to stop. He would bring me stuff, and that stuff would make me go back. And then I'd be back in that well. And I couldn't stop no more. I was hooked again. Right? And my sponsor used to say, that's the heredope, girl. I said, heredope? Yeah, girl, that's the heredope. The heredope. You can't get out that heredope. It's hard to get out that heredope. I didn't know what she was talking about. But I wasn't on one door. I said, that was me. I couldn't stop, but I stopped. Once I got to the other side, I never went back. And I gave myself some time to heal. And once I gave myself some time, you know, that's when God put my husband in my life. Right? But I had to free myself from that. Right? And that's how it is with the alcohol. Once you stop and give yourself some time to heal, I'm talking about mentally, physically, and spiritually. Right? That's what I'm talking about, healing mentally, physically, and spiritually. Right? Once you start healing, then God able to come in and do what he needs to do for you. Mentally, physically, and spiritually. But you got to get out of the way. Me and my spouse was talking about that today. Getting out of the way. Sometimes you just got to get out of the way. Stop trying to take over. Stop trying to control. Stop trying to manipulate. Stop trying to do all that stuff we are so used to doing. Right? And once we stop and get out of the way, God is able to come in and do what he do. He able to come in and make things happen. I'm talking about that stuff you thought couldn't happen, right? I'm talking about because one day I was drinking and drugging, and the next day I wasn't, right? And that's a miracle. All I did was get out of the way, right? It's just that simple. I was telling my sponsor today, keep it simple. Quit talking about it. All this long drawn out stuff. I don't want to hear about that. Just keep it real simple. Disobedience. Stop being disobedient. That's all we need to do, right? All that old long drawn out come state. No, you've been disobedient. So I'm learning how to be obedient, right? Because sometimes I can get in a disobedient position, right? But every time I do that, I get some pain. And I ain't talking about physical pain. I'm talking about spiritual pain. Right? And spiritual pain is worse than physical pain. I'm going to just go and get a knot on my arm and get it well. But that spiritual pain hang on there for a minute, right? You got the rustles. You be in the bed rustling. Don't do nobody wrong. You toss and turn all night and you wonder why you can't sleep. Because you been doing some stuff, right? That you think ain't, especially when you're working on them steps, honey. When you work on steps, oh my God. Every step you get on, they show up in your life. You be like, hey, man, I just worked that. Now why I gotta show up this bad? You know what I'm saying? What? Look, I remember I was going through the men process, right? I said, I was gonna make a man to my daughter, right? I get a phone call from a stranger looking for my daughter. I said, okay. So I called somebody else to call my daughter because we ain't speaking. We weren't speaking at the time, right? It was full circle. She had called me, and I was able to go to her house and be able to make her a man. But I stayed out of the way. I didn't go try to, because I had been riding up her street. I wanted to go to her house, but my sponsor said, no, you don't need to go to her house. God's going to bring a time when you need to make that a man. You just stay out of the way with nothing on the nothing on the baby, I'm sorry, and all that. Just wait. And that's how it happened. A stranger put us back together. We've been back together ever since. Right? A stranger called me, looking for, and then it makes so bad, the stranger had the wrong number. So I knew it wasn't of God then. Right? The stranger had the wrong number. Because when my daughter called me back, she said, Mama, they weren't looking for me. And we started talking. It started from that. Then I would go to her house. And I was able to look her in the eye and let her know how I felt and where I was coming from and let her know that I understand her side. See, one thing I know is that I did a lot of harm to my kids, right, when I was out there doing what I was doing, that selfishness. I did a lot of harm to them. They ain't got no program. So they still got a lot of resentment going on. They don't know nothing about no 12 steps. All they know is they mad. They still mad about what happened in 19-something. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got no program to come back to 2018. You know, God just got to work on them the way you worked on me. And I got to give them that time. Because if I don't, if I get in the way, then I'm going to get hurt. They're going to get hurt. And it's going to be blown back out of proportion. So I'm learning how to stay out the way, Vanessa. Let God do it. God's going to be gone whether I approve it or not. All I got to do is stay out the way, and then it'll happen real, real fast. You know, things will come together real, real fast. Boy, that plenty of time, man. Let me tell y'all about this. I got plenty of time. Let me tell y'all, look. One thing I understand about this process is that when you're a part of your life gets better. I remember a time when I was out there doing the things that I was doing, right? And I've always thought that I was good at what I done, right? I always thought I was the best at what I did. Always. Right? But what I didn't know is that I did a lot of people great home, but most of all, I was talking about myself. Like, it's still taking a long time for me to get my spirit together. Because I'm talking about, I did a lot of spiritual harm to myself. Like, look, I understand like the mental stuff that goes on. Because, I was in denial about that, too. That I had a little mental health problem, but y'all can see I got a lot of mental health problems going on. Right? I gotta tell that, right? I don't know if I'm skip four, or what, but I know I got some mental health going on. Right? I just think I have been diagnosed. I was diagnosed with depression, right? And it's okay. It's okay. Depression don't hit me as hard as it hit others. Because I got some people that call me with that depression thing and it locks people down. Right? That depression can lock you down to the bed and you can't get up. Right? And I done did a lot of calls where I had to go and help somebody get up. So I'm real funny, whether y'all know it or not. So I done made a bad situation real, real funny. So people will call me, right? They call me with their depression and I'll be talking to them and they're saying, we know we laughing and talking. They mean me out of me. Right? But that's something that God gave me. Right? That's an access that I thought that I had. Right? I didn't know that I didn't know about the assets and the liabilities, right? But I found out that I got some assets that's real, real good. right? Some stuff that I can hold on to, right? Some stuff that I can apply and help other people, right? Because that's all it's about, really. It's all about helping somebody, right? I thought I was coming here for me, and I found out I was coming here so I can share, right? Can carry a message, right? I found out that my message, my mess had turned into a message. Right? Because at first I thought it was just a whole bunch of mess went on with me. But all God was doing was making my mess turn my mess into a message. Right? And I thought that I wasn't about nothing. Right? And I found out like I'm about something. Like my life is about something. Right? Or someone like, I work in a treatment and I help ladies every day. Or sometimes I can get so self-centered and so selfish, and I'm telling you about that today. I got real selfish today. All I was thinking about, I need to go home and make dinner for my husband because I'm off today, and I need to do this. I need to stop at the grocery store. I need to do that. And somebody came to me and said, Vanessa, you need a few cases of water because I'm going to take it to Newburgh. So I need some cases of water. And I made one phone call to one of my sponsees who worked at a treatment center, and they get big rolls of water and stuff. And she called somebody who was giving her 50 cases, right? And they met me at a meeting, and they gave him 15 cases of water today, right? Or somebody then another lady walked up to me and said, I'm so glad to see you. I'm like, awesome. And she hugged me. I need a ride here. And but my self-centeredness said, I need to get home to my husband and make him something to eat. He's been getting ready to get off work. You know, I'm talking about my stuff, right? But I have to learn how to put me to the side for a minute, right? And she said she needs to go here. She needs to go, I'll give you a couple of dollars. I ain't no super talking about two, right? Well, when she said a couple, I thought she was talking about some money, but she was talking about a couple for real. I took some couples. I said, girl, what do you think I was going to do for my gas tank? She said, I don't know, but I told you I had a cup. I said, put them in the cup right there. You know, but I took the $2 for the simple reason because she told me that she was going to give me a few dollars, a couple of dollars, right? That's why I took it, but I would have did it for free. If she would have told me she didn't have no money, I would have did it for free. But she wasn't talking to me. I play such and such a minute dollar worth of numbers every day. I play scratch off. I said, you told me you're going to give me a couple of dollars? I'll let you walk halfway. But I did. I taught me. But I did. Because I really know that it really wasn't about her, right? God was making me available. I knew why I was doing it. You know what I'm saying? I knew that I was doing it, and it wasn't causing me. I was doing it for God. Right? I wasn't even doing it for the 2 hours I had for the 2 hours I was changing my cup. Right? But I did it for the simple reason because she said she was going to give it to me, so give it to me. Right? I said, I took you 2 plates. So you gave me $1 for each plate. I ain't doing it for them. I did it for God. Because I learned once I do stuff for God, I don't have no resentment. Right? But if I do it for you and you don't have stand up to my expectations, then I got resentment. Right? I'm mad with you, your mama, your children, your cousins, anybody else is connected to you. I'm mad with everybody. So I learned how not to do that. I learned how to stay out of the way and just do stuff for God. It ain't about you. I do it for God. He ain't got over on you. None of that. God gets the glory. Right? And I learned how to do that for me, to keep me out from being all upset and mad at the world. Every time because you didn't treat me right when somebody else asked me, I'm talking about, you know, all that stuff there. Being, you know, I have to practice it. All people do is give me practice. So I'll be real, real good at it when it comes to me the next time. Right? I'll be better than I was the first time when I did it. Right? So all it is giving me some practice. And I love to practice, because they tell me practice makes perfect, right? I want to be no perfect alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, but I do want to be better than I was yesterday, right? Because I don't want to be in the same place I was in yesterday. I want to be in a better space than I was yesterday, right? As long as I'm in a better place yesterday, that means I'm growing, right? As long as I stay green, I get a chance to grow, right? When I get right, blah, blah, blah. I'm a spoil. Right? And I don't want to spoil around here. I want to be able to get some more information and understand on a better level every time I keep coming. And I understand today why they say keep coming. Right? Because once you keep coming, you get to understand and get a better understanding of what you thought you knew. Right? But every time I thought I think I know something, somebody shared, I know a little bit more about what I thought I knew. Right? It clears itself up. Every time I keep coming back, I get cleared up on a little more. Right? It always gets better. That's why I keep attending meetings. Right? They keep telling me meeting makers make it. Right? I said, how meeting makers make it? If you keep making meetings, you won't drink. And then you'll make it to another day. I just keep it real simple. Because I keep it simple for me. Because I ain't no educated alcoholic. I ain't go to college. I went to high school. I bought a GED, you know? So that had to be real, real simple for me. Right? I can't get all the way up now. You have to come back down. Come back down. Just don't drink. You know what I'm saying? Just take me back. Just don't drink. If you don't pick up, you won't get drunk. You know, stuff like that. That's kind of stuff I need to hear. Can't get too educated, right? I'm telling you, that stuff will get me drunk. Right? So I just love being in this process. Because as long as I stay in this process, I'll be okay. What? I keep coming. I keep hearing Taylor and Sharon. I keep saying Owens. I keep having Owens help me help others. Right? And I just stand in the middle of this thing. Right? As long as I stay in the middle, I'll be okay. Because when I get to the end, I'm easily to fall off. So I stay in the middle. Right? And I keep all these people around me, like on the old timer, and Timmy, the little timer, and this newcomer all around them, right? And I'm telling you, it works, right? And then I have these sponsors up in here, you know what I'm saying? That keep me working, right? And then I have the sponsor that sit up around here, like every time she falls, right? I can lift her back up. You know, like, all that stuff works for me. And I keep it just that simple. Just how I just explained it, that's how my life will take, right? Then I got this husband, right, who keep me on the balance. Because see, when I be trying to chill, though, he's right? And then I get back on level, right, because I don't want to lose him, right? So, you know, that's what I do, right? I keep this stuff, I stay in the middle of all this, right? As long as I'm in the middle, I'm doing okay. But as soon as I think I got it, I know I'm in trouble, right? So I don't never want to think I got it. I always want to be, when I first got here, y'all kept telling me about this. Open-minded, right? Honesty, right? Willingness, right? And y'all kept telling me you got to be honest. You got to be open-minded. You got to be willing. And I said, okay. I'm going to be honest. I can't mess with this married man on my house top, right? I got honest with that. And then I got open-minded with everybody saying, well, let me tell you what you need to do. You just need to stop. Totally got to keep it simple. I said, okay, I got open-minded with that. So I'm going to stop. Right? But they said you got to be willing to do the work. Right? Because, see, I couldn't just stop and stop, and then I ain't doing nothing with stopping. When you stop, you got to work. When you stop, you got to process stuff. When you stop, you got to start putting these spiritual principles in your life, right? For your life to get better. Because if you don't, then what you working on? You just working on stop. When you stop, you're going to continue. Because then you got nothing to hold you. Right? So I learned how to stop, get simmer, apply some new stuff, right? Because I got to put some new stuff in and I'll get that old stuff out. Because if I don't apply no new stuff on top of that old stuff, I'm going to go back to what I'm familiar with. I go straight back to what I'm familiar with. I know me. I go straight back to what I'm familiar with. But that's why it's important for me to keep working. It's important for me to keep applying those spiritual principles. Right? It's important for me to have some integrity. Right? It's very important for me to have some integrity. Because I already know how I am. I know my defect of character, right? I'm greedy. I know that's real. That's one of the real, real bad ones, being greedy. And that greed will get you in trouble, right? I told you I can't buy one pair of shoes. It's just greedy, right? All I got to do, oh, I ain't got but one set of feet, right? All I got to do is just go in there and get one pair of shoes and be okay with that. I went to this place yesterday. I went to this place, I'm trying to buy me a home, right? And they sent me to this workshop. And this workshop opened my mind. I'm talking about like, I overspend, right? I overspend real bad. And I thought I was okay. Just when you think you're okay, it's the most stuff you need to work on. Just when you think you're okay. I'm talking about this workshop was like going to a meeting. It was a I said, what? I need to go around on the couch. I got too many travels, too many work. What do I do with all those accounts? I need to just get one little account and then several accounts. And they have a savings and the checking in there. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have that, why I got to have, I'm just greedy. I got to have a chain. I got to have a name account. I got to have a credit union. What do I do with all those accounts that ain't got no little money? That's crazy. I went to the workshop. That workshop was like the spirit of awakening. I said, oh my God. Hey, this is crazy. You know, y'all keep telling me, right, only through understanding and application that this works. Thank y'all for a great meeting. Thank you.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Last time I was here, Amy had a seizure on me when I spoke. I was scared to speak. Y'all saw something just going down. I had to get my spirit back together. Yep.
That's the truth. I mean, she was like halfway into her story. Amy's chairing, and she goes into a seizure. We're calling an ambulance, and Vanessa's like,
what do I do now?
Do I go? Do I let? And so we got a real recording tonight.
Okay.
Vanessa, you did awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, one and all, for joining the Blue Chip Speaker Meeting tonight.
If the river keep a rising, water gonna overflow. If that river keep a rising, flood water gonna overflow. Just like that old river, baby, it's my time to go. Thanks, God.